After 6 o'clock, our friends Carly and Martina are going to join us. You know these two young women. They are fine musicians and songwriters. We brought them to you first when we were still doing the overnight show, and they've been with us a few more times, so they have a show coming up at the House of Blues. And a new single that just came out, so we'll be talking to them about that. If you are traveling anytime this summer, I will freak you out by telling you the dirtiest spot in the airport, which I had not thought of until I read this article, and now I don't think I want to travel at all. It is all the way. It is done. Everything is handled. And I'm talking to Cody. Just why this time did you decide to talk to me just in my head, which freaked me out?
Why not?
I don't know. Usually you just jump on the air and interrupt.
You've got plenty of other voices in your head.
I do.
I didn't think that our listening audience would be interested to hear.
No, everything's good. So we know what's... See, here's the deal, folks. And maybe you've been listening. You listened last night to Dave Plyer, or this morning to Dave Plyer, and then Dean was on, of course, and then baseball. A lot of changes happening here at WGN Radio. We are in the process, as you know, of moving out of the Tribune Tower. Moving out is one way to put it. I say we were tossed out because the building was sold, and we were unceremoniously shoved out the door. But that's just that's how I choose to frame it. It's all right. Everybody has a different thing. Point is the same. We are moving. We are moving across the river to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Yes, I am the George Jefferson of radio, and Wheezy is coming with me, and he will be producing the program, and then our upstairs neighbors will be some British people. I don't know who that will be, and but anyway, and who's going to be the maid?
What?
Have you ever seen the Jeffersons, Cody?
The Jeffersons or the Jetsons?
The Jeffersons.
What?
George Jefferson, Wheezy Jefferson.
No idea.
Florida?
Nope. That was not on Nick and Knight when I was little.
Are you sure?
I was into I Love Lucy, Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke.
Google it. Roger's aching to talk, and yet I haven't turned his mic on because he's not here. He's not supposed to be here yet. And this is the problem with... So this is the deal. The newsroom is gone. We have news people here. Pam is here, of course, and Roger is here to come up later. And I saw Dave Schwann. He was here earlier. So we have fine news people still working, but the main newsroom is no more. It is gutted. It's a shell of its former self because the new newsroom at the new deluxe apartment in the Skaha will take over tomorrow morning. I believe Vic Vaughn, will Vic be on from here at 2 o'clock this morning? Oh man, it's going to be exciting. So when Nick D comes on, he'll be coming on from here. Vic Vaughn will be coming on from the new studios across the river. It's some sort of weird hocus pocus magic where we'll be putting everything together. So all these buildings, and it'll all come into your little head. So wherever you are, it won't sound like we're in two buildings. It'll sound like we're all together. Will it? Sure. Just like it sounds like we're all together now when some of us are on the seventh floor, some of us are here, some of us are, under a cabinet. We don't know where.
I think it's kind of cool that everybody gets kind of to feel like they're with us as we're doing this big move. Because this is historic.
It is, yes.
We've been here 100 years, right?
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And it's very, it's exciting and it's sad in a way. And it is historic that we are leaving. Tribune Company is leaving Tribune Town.
Yeah.
The paper is leaving. They all have to be out by this week. The radio station, it's sad. Moving day was the other day, Thursday and Friday. So we walk through the ghost town that used to be, this used to be my playground. I don't know whose song that was. It was another sad song. It's going to be all feels the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, listeners will always, everybody will be able to look back and say, I remember listening to WGN when they were talking about leaving the tower.
Leaving the tower. Who would have thought, and leaving the Allstate Showcase studio, which is just a wonderful hub, and I really do believe it connects us to the city. Some people have argued, well, it's a distraction. You don't really need to be down there. No, you don't need to be down here, but I'll be honest, I love broadcasting from here. The studio upstairs is beautiful. The new studios look beautiful. It's a different thing. Does that mean the shows will be less? Of course not. We're professionals. We know how to do this. But there's something like, people look in, they get to see what we're doing when we have guests who are performing. They draw a crowd. It's been a wonderful run. And I remember the very first time I got to work in this studio, because we used to be in the back. Mm-hmm. And we were always in the back. And then when we got to come up here, man, oh man, it was a big deal.
Well, let me put it another way.
Put it how would you like to put it?
After a couple weeks from now,
yes,
you will no longer be able to just casually walk by a show on WGN Radio and moon the host.
That's it.
I mean,
which has been done.
I think everybody can relate to that, right?
Yes.
Have you ever seen that happen?
I've been top mooned and bottom mooned.
Whoa!
I've had ladies press things up against the window while I was doing sports night and some other evening shows. Yes. Oh, speaking of ladies outside the window, my lovely nieces are outside, and my brother and sister-in-law, and they're all waving.
See, this is what we're talking about.
Cody, do me a favor. They're going to come in. They're going to come in the lobby. So this is my completely unexpected. My three little nieces, my goddaughter and her two sisters are wandering by. This is exciting. Roger, you're driving me crazy. Because you're sitting here and you're like, you're pantomiming and you're moving your lips and your head and you know your mic wasn't on. Now your mic is on. Hi, Roger. How are you?
Hi, Brian.
You started down here last night, right? Is that right?
Friday night
with Matt Bubala?
Yeah.
So
well, Matt was out.
But okay, Steve Dow was here. So you've been doing your news from in here all weekend.
Right.
Has it been a bother to the host? Let's be honest.
Not that I know of. Not that they said to my face.
Well, see, that's why I'm the only guy who would say it to your face.
That's true.
But it is not a bother. It's good to see you. Next week we are going to do a big goodbye to the Showcase show. So there will be a lot of... I'm not going to spend a lot of time reminiscing today.
Okay.
But here's the thing, folks. If you want to see us do our last show from the Allstate Showcase studio, we will be here. Next Sunday at 5:30, I am going to open the mic to the street.
Ooh.
And if you have come down... Yeah, management doesn't know this. We're playing some weird kind of Russian roulette with the radio. So next week at 5:30, if you are outside the Allstate Showcase studio and you want to say goodbye and see us do our final show here, then by all means come down and we will talk to you. So this is very exciting. Oh, man, look at this crew that's coming in. You guys can go sit over there. You want to go sit over there? Up by the microphones. My nieces are here. This is very exciting. I just saw them a few weeks ago for a birthday. And now they are here. Do you want to sit in the chair near the microphone? No, they want to sit in the big chairs.
Yeah, those are fancy chairs.
Oh, this is very exciting.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and then I'll see if they want to say hello to everybody, and we'll see what's going on, all right? And then after 5 o'clock, oh, my gosh, we've got a lot to get to. Dissecting animals in schools, and the dirtiest place in the airport, and dealing with change. A lot to get to, and it's all happening right here, 720 WGN. Part of the magic of this studio is that you never know who is going to walk by. Now, there have been times when celebrities have walked by the window and producers have run out to try to get them. Cody would never do that because running makes him sweaty. He doesn't like to do that. People you know might come by. People I haven't seen in a long time have walked by. And today, how exciting, my brother, sister-in-law, and my three nieces have walked by. And so they get to, they are in the studio now. This is very exciting. My goddaughter is here. My second niece, because your cousin Sophia is my first, but my eldest niece from this area is here. Tess is here. Sloan is here. And Shay is here. And Tess, you are in first grade. Is that correct? You got to talk.
Yes.
You can get. Can you get right up close to that? How old are you now? 14?
Seven.
I was way off. Sloan, how old are you now?
Five.
You are five. And Shay, you are three. Is that correct?
Yeah,
she's not. Oh, she's three and a half. I'm sorry. See, that's what happens. So first, guys, Tess, you're almost done with first grade, right?
Yes.
And what did you learn this year? What was the best thing you learned in first grade?
Math.
Are you really good at math?
Yes, and religion.
Oh, and religion, yes, because you go to a cat. What school do you go to?
St. John of the Cross.
St. John of the Cross. You want to say anything to your friends out there?
This
oh, you want to put the headphones on? You can if you want, Sloan. You can put them on. Yes, people are hearing you right now. I hear you. And so do you want to say anything to your friends at St. John of the Cross?
I don't know.
No? Who's your favorite teacher over there? Do you have a favorite teacher?
Mrs. Jackie.
Mrs. Jackie? Is she your main? Do you have just one teacher?
Yes.
Yes, and so Mrs. Jackie handles all your business during the day?
Yes.
Is she a good teacher?
Yes.
Yes, very nice. And so you have one more week of school?
Yes.
And then do you have a job lined up for the summer?
No.
Really? What are you going to do? Just hang around, do nothing?
No, I'm going to go swimming at the swimming pool.
Go swimming? That's a good summer activity. Now, what about you, Sloane? You're in kindergarten, right?
I graduated from preschool.
You graduated from preschool?
Yes.
Yes, and now that you have your degree, you're moving on to kindergarten?
Yes, in first grade.
First grade next year. Are you going to the same school?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, she's moving on to kindergarten.
That's what I thought.
Kindergarten and first grade.
Kindergarten and first grade.
No, right? Kindergarten in the same
In the same school.
In the same school. Okay. I'm going.
Listen, I thought you were. I know you're smart. I thought you were going to just skip kindergarten altogether.
No, yeah, she's like saying, I go to St. John of the Cross.
And so she's going to go there,
she's
too.
She's calling her first grade of the cross.
First grade of the cross?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. And what are you doing for
first
the summer,
First grade Sloan? Of the cross. I don't say first grade of the cross.
I don't know how that works at all. Are you good? Do you have a job for the summer, or are you going to swim, too?
I do swim.
You're just going to swim? You, oh, swim lessons.
No, we're going to swing on our swing set.
Swing set?
Yes.
Go swimming? And yes. You're going to keep Shay from talking? Is that your goal? Because Shay is fun.
No,
Shay's just
no.
standing over there. She's having a good time.
No.
You gonna let her talk?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Well, listen. It is great to see you guys.
Hey, are you scientist talk?
I have to go to the news because they gotta do the news. But it is. So, I am so happy you guys came by. This was very cool. And now you can tell all your friends tomorrow that you were on the radio, and they will. They'll be like, "What do you mean you were on the radio?" But you talk to all the people who are listening. This is Roger. He does the news. But this time, somebody else is going to do the news because Roger doesn't start. Yes. So, huh?
I'm in the phone of silence now.
Well, yeah. Well, I was talking to them. I talk to you all the time.
I know.
Plus, I got to be honest. Hearing about kindergarten and first grade.
Yep.
Pretty interesting compared to some of the stuff you bring up. So, it was just fine. I figured you'll have plenty of time to talk for the next couple hours. I don't get to talk to these guys at all. Shay, do you want to say hi? No? She's going to hide. All right, well, listen, we got to do the news, and then we will come back, and who knows, maybe more of my relatives will wander by, maybe some more people that we know will drop by, maybe Cody will chase down a celebrity, or maybe we'll just make weird animal noises for the next hour. Who knows? You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Look at that symmetry. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. It is 5 o'clock with the news. Here's Pam Jones. It's going to be so much fun. The big show from the Allstate Showcase Studio. The penultimate time. Second to the last time.
I love that word.
The penultimate?
Penultimate is such a good word.
I'm going to use it, I can use it today, and then I can't use it anymore.
I use it liberally.
Do you really?
Liberally.
I enjoy it. It's a word you don't hear very often,
mm-hmm.
and it adds a little heft to the proceedings. It makes things, makes things seem a little more serious than they might possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
So, where were you last week?
Where was I last week?
Yeah, where were you? Why weren't you here?
I was my co-host of Game Life Balance, my WGN Plus podcast.
Always got to get that plug in.
Yeah, sure do. The video game lifestyle podcast we do. He hosts a board game weekend up in Minneapolis, where he lives, every year on Memorial Day. So we went up and played board games for 4 days straight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
Oh, yeah.
Is it like Monopoly? What kind
Nope. Chaos in the Old World, Mystic Vale, Eldritch Horror, Terraforming Mars.
I don't know any of those words that you've just said.
Yeah,
I don't understand any of them. I, if you had said Sorry, or Monopoly, or The Game of Life, or Yahtzee, Parcheesi, Mancala, Backgammon. None of those games?
No, we play games. We like to play games.
We play like fantasy games, right?
They take between an hour and 2 hours to explain the rules.
That's too much.
I'm not exaggerating. Like, no. That's not a joke.
Are y'all liquored up when you're doing this?
Not most of the day. Later in the evening, after 8 or 9, once we start to play more party-style games, we'll start to just... if we're going to play something that we've played many times before or something a little more casual, then we'll do... Like, we played Codenames. That's a good party game.
Are there women involved in this?
Oh, my God, no.
Okay.
No. My wife was the first woman I saw in, like, 5 days.
So it's basically like the sweaty guy club from high school.
Oh, yeah.
But now you're all grown men with jobs.
Yeah, we just don't play Dungeons & Dragons.
No. Do you wear cloaks? Did you wear your cloak?
No, I should. Missed opportunity.
Well, you're back. It's good to have you back. And here's the other thing. Your work ethic is so strong. In 2 weeks when we do our very first show from the brand new studios, you won't be there.
Yeah, I don't want to be any part of that.
Yeah, well, people have said, have you seen the new place? I've seen the new place. It's very shiny and new.
Shiny.
It's very shiny. It's very new. The engineers have worked very, very hard on it. I'm sure it's going to be lovely. That's
You don't have a fear of heights or anything.
I don't have a fear of heights. Well, I'm not. We're not working on scaffolding. We're actually. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
I heard studios, your office was
the studio office. The studios are inside, and they have lovely views for you. The good news is you get to enjoy the lovely views.
I mean, I heard it.
My back is to the view.
Wow.
So I don't. My view is you, which is questionable at best.
Listen.
So that's the sky. And when we're over there, we'll do something to let you know how it is.
We'll Facebook Live and stuff, and sure. There'll be lots of photos. And
it's going to be fun.
It'll be lovely.
It's a change, and I don't like change. I did, and I have a lot of change going on in my life right now, so it's overwhelming. I can't. I'm being crushed under the weight of change, I don't enjoy it.
But is your daughter being a graduate of college really that much different than her being a college student? Because she's away either way.
She is away either way, which is what she said to me the other day. It's going to be just like I'm in college. I'm like, nah, it's not.
Why?
Because she's. It's just different.
I'm not a parent,
I know, and it's... No, it just... All right, so she's leaving, which is, fine. We're leaving here and moving to a new place. School ended the other day. There's just a lot of change happening for me.
Oh, your school, right.
My school ended, so I'm no longer with... Uh-oh.
No longer substituting, right?
I don't know what happened there. Something got caught in my throat. The tears are on full display. It's probably some of the... Probably some of the God only knows what kind of chemicals have been disrupted here with everything being ripped out of this building.
Oh boy.
There's dumpsters full of things and everybody. You walk into the offices here that last week looked okay, because people's furniture and all their knickknacks and tchotchkes and things were in there. And now that they're empty, you see how really dirty and disgusting they were. The offices, it's like, oh, man.
Anybody who's ever moved knows right. How it is.
It's just like your house. But imagine your house with a lot of ne'er-do-wells living in it, and everybody has their own office and all kinds of stuff. So, there's just a lot of change, and it's making me uneasy, quite frankly. Because I don't know, do you deal well with change? You go with the flow.
I guess. I gotta say, though, and I told you this before I asked you to officiate my wedding, is you and Tribune Tower have actually been more consistent things in my adult life than anything else. Like, my friends have come and gone from the city. Yeah. I mean, I've always had my high school friends, but they weren't present,
Sure.
My entire adult life, I've lived in Chicago, but within a year of moving here, I started interning here.
Yeah.
So I have come to the lobby, at least, of Tribune Tower more consistently than any other location in the entire city for my entire adult life. So that's a big thing.
That's a huge thing. This is the place.
It's going to feel, as cool as the new place is, anytime your whole adult life right. revolves yeah. around one place, it's like, oh man, I'm not going to walk into that lobby anymore.
No, it's very strange. And you can, if you go to the Brian Noonan Show page, there's some pictures. We'll have more pictures as things go on. And next week, as I said, we'll be doing the goodbye to the Showcase Studio Show, our last show here. We will have, there's going to be some special guests and some food and some drinks. And if at 5:30 you are outside, we would love to talk to you next Sunday evening at 5:30, right outside the window. We've got the mic out there. We'll talk to people and get your remembrances of the Showcase Studio as well. Where did you go now?
Oh, I went to Starbucks.
Starbucks?
Because I forgot my cake cups in the car.
Oh. So. Was it? Oh, and yeah, I was going to say, isn't it quicker to just run out back? We don't park out back anymore. I was almost tempted to see if I could slip one of the security guards at the building like a 10 and just, because who's out there? There's no, the lot's empty.
Yeah.
Me so, too. I want to slip.
Yeah,
back
see, Pam, we should just go down there as a united front and go, hey, next Sunday,
Because let me tell you, it took me like, I don't know, 40 minutes just to find some, inexpensive parking down here. It's ridiculous.
Did you just drive around?
I drove from parking lot to parking lot and looked on the, the little menu where says, for 2 hours it's going to be $38.
Whoa.
I'm totally exaggerating.
You got to go on Spot Hero, Pam.
Yeah.
I paid $9 today.
I paid double that. I just paid 18.
Yeah,
but,
see?
Like, I've been here for a while.
I know. Well, I got 6 hours for $9.
Yeah, well, I was a little more than six, so I needed to, had to pay the 18. But that 18 is fine. Okay. I can do 18. But
you
the rest,
can?
Yeah. Mm. I'll do 18, but I won't do any more than 18.
12 hours for $20.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome. I got to talk to you about that.
Okay. Yeah, I got a feeling we're all going to try. Everybody's going to try to be hooking each other up. Where'd you get your parking?
Right, right.
That's the biggest. This is more than we've talked amongst our coworkers in the whole time I've been here. Everybody's
right.
so concerned about
this.
Parking.
Instead of the news coming up. Can we just talk
right.
about this?
People getting us parking spots where we can park, and
I'm almost afraid to say. Where.
How do you bribe a security officer
right?
to let you in an empty parking lot?
I know.
Which that's the thing. The parking lot is empty.
Seriously,
right.
we can't. Use.
Like three of us can't park down there.
Right.
Seriously,
on a weekend.
Because like, why? You know what? I won't even say that on the air. Because like, we're still here, and you know.
Yeah, we're gonna get in trouble.
I used to bribe him with pizza. Remember?
Yes. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, if you are traveling, we will freak you out and tell you about the dirtiest place in the airport. We'll do it after this. It's WGN. I am flying to New York on Thursday. You may be flying somewhere over the summer for a vacation. If you do, I saw this today, and you will be grossed out because a new study by a Texas-based company Insurance Quotes found the dirtiest place in an airport. Dirtiest, now you would think, all right, well, that's got to be easy, right? It's either going to be like in the bathroom, or it's going to be at baggage claim because you don't know what your bag has been through before you, if you've ever looked at the belt that drops your bag off, that's going to be the grossest thing. If you're eating, you may want to put your food away for the next few minutes because this will definitely gross you out. It's not the bathroom, and it's not like a baby changing station. It's not that. Where do you think it could be? Cody, you want to wager a guess? Hazard a guess, I mean?
I have no guesses.
No guesses.
Does Roger have a guess?
Of course. Roger always has something to say. Of course he does. Look at him. He's bursting at the seams. He's down here in the temporary newsroom where he wrote a little, he scribbled on a piece of paper that this was the temporary newsroom. So he's in. What do you think it is?
I'd say it's the seats where you're sitting waiting to board the plane.
That would be a good guess, but incorrect.
Oh.
No, gentlemen.
I know where it is.
Did you read the story?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, that's not fair.
My only guess would be the trays where you drop change in the security conveyor belt.
Oh, another fantastic guess.
Yeah.
Also wrong.
All right. Then
also wrong.
I got nothing.
It is the self-service kiosk when you first get into the airport.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, of course. We all say, oh, of course. That's what I said when I read the story. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, of course. And it, even in the story, it says, right now you're thinking, duh, of course. Because it is. It's the check-in kiosk. It's the first thing you're greeted with. So many other germy spots could distract you in the airport, but no. The studies found that this area is loaded with bacteria and fungi. Or do you say fungi? Fungi. Company ran 18 tests across 6 different surfaces at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. That's in Atlanta. They focused on the self-check-in area, water fountain button. Who uses a water fountain at the airport?
Ugh.
I don't use public water fountains anywhere. That's just nasty. I would never do that. The tray table, seat belt buckle, and the airline gate bench armrest. Here's what the study found. Quote, with mass amounts of traffic, self-checking kiosks are the quick stop for many flyers. The kiosks offer more convenience, but at what cost? According to our research, the average self-checking screen contained 253,857 CFU. I don't know. Contaminated. I don't know what the FU stands for. Over 13 times more than the average CFU of an airport water fountain button. One check-in screen recorded over 1 million CFU. Some sort of unit. Contaminated filthy unit. Or, I don't know. In comparison, an average only 172 CFU are found on toilet seats. So if there's only 172 of these bacteria units on a toilet seat, and the check-in screen has 253,000 on them, oh, goodness. Here's a breakdown of what the germs they found throughout the airport. You ready to be disgusted?
Yep.
All right, this is really gross. I'm going to warn you up front. Gram-positive cocci. Which can cause pus-filled infections.
Oh, lovely.
Which is, I saw the lineup of Riot Fest. Yeah. Pus-filled infections is playing there. Gram-negative rods, typically found in hospitals. Bacillus, a bacteria that causes food to spoil and create disease. Yeast, which is found on spots of moisture and on human skin. Gross. Gram-positive rods, which are probiotic germs. Most common germs on the self-checking kiosk, toilet flush button, tray table, and seatbelt buckle were gram-positive cacti. That's the pus-causing germ. Yes, I can't wait. Now I don't know what I... Now I'm going to have to, like, when I go to check in on Thursday, because at Midway, if you fly Southwest, you have to use those. You have to, yeah, I got to bring wipes with me. Because I'm not, I don't want some, pussy infection. That'd be gross. So that's what we have to look forward to. And I, listen, I'm not a germ-phobic guy. I figure some germs are going to help me, develop a good immune system. I wash my hands if they're dirty. I'm not consistently washing my hands. I saw you wiped everything down when you came in here, Roger. Oh, you had to make sure everything.
Before 4 years ago, I wasn't like that.
When you got sick?
When I got the
station. All right. I haven't gotten one yet down here. The only one I got the one from cutting my foot in the last year, but that wasn't here.
And after seeing that board that you use, boy, I'm surprised you haven't.
You know what? The keyboards around, and I've said this before, everything looks like people have been eating fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
The entire studio is covered with germs. But I don't. If it's really gross, then every once in a while I'll wipe something down. But I figure I'm coming in. I'll wash my hands before I eat. I wash my hands if I go to the bathroom. That's it. Yeah. And I don't do you, like. And people are going to think I'm gross. I don't spend a ton of time scrubbing. I'm not going into surgery. I wash my hands fast. I dry them and I get back to business. Oh, yeah. I'm not in there going I'm not walking around with my hands. Yeah. Oh, I'm not. I'm not scrubbing my finger. I don't have iodine or whatever it is. I don't have to break open a special sealed pack to get my. cleanser out of there. No, everything's fine. But now, I do think, I try not to think about it, because if I did spend a lot of time thinking about it, I would be completely, completely disgusted. Like, now I'm thinking about this. Hopefully by Thursday I'll have so much other stuff on my mind, like my daughter leaving home forever, mm-hmm. that I won't worry if I get a pus-filled infection. But there's a good chance that I'll still be thinking about it. And I'll just, what I'll do? I'll have Molly punch in all the stuff on the kiosk. You're young. You probably have a better immune system than I do. Go ahead. All right, we got to take this break. After the news, I want to talk to you about this. There's a movement underway, and it's been going on for the last couple of years, but the other day there was a protest in front of a high school because people are protesting and upset about the dissection of frogs and other animals in high school science classes. So we will talk to you about that. If you are an educator, I'd love to hear from you. And if you are someone who is in school and has recently had to dissect something, I want to hear from you as well. 312-981-7200. That's what we'll get to after the news, which we'll get to after this on WGN. If you remember back in high school, as I do, there was dissections that used to happen in your biology class. We did a fetal pig, we did a frog, and we did an earthworm.
Yeah.
And
we never did the pig.
You never did the fetal pig?
Oh, man. I only remember the frog and the worm.
I don't remember liking any of them.
No.
It was not my thing, and I know there were a lot of people who didn't like it. And over the last few years, there's been a movement afoot to stop the dissection of animals, and to move away from that in biology class to focus more on cells and things like that. And, of course, there were always people protesting. Well, some PETA supporters were outside District 113 in Highland Park the other day, and they were pushing to get people to end animal dissection in science classes at the Highland Park and Deerfield High Schools. Of course, we all know PETA, and I am not a PETA person. I think a lot of times PETA, I love animals. I believe animals should be treated well, but I also don't think animals are people. And, that being said, I think PETA goes too far in a lot of places. So, this issue, though, is getting a lot of attention, and it has been over the last few years, whether the dissection of frogs, pigs, or other animals in a school science class is appropriate, particularly when digital alternatives are becoming refined and abundant. So that's my question to you. If your kids are in school, or even if you're long out of school and don't have any children in high school now, do you think that we still need, in high school, to be dissecting animals? Now, listen. Here's the thing. Those animals are dead. When the kids aren't being taught to kill the animals, the kids are being taught, and I'm trying to remember the rationale. So you could see the interior systems, the digestive tract, the organs, and things like that. But honestly, for most of us, after we go through biology class in high school and we dissect these animals, I never cut anything up again in my life, except a steak when I'm eating. But I'm not, you know, I didn't become a veterinarian. I didn't go to med school. I didn't become a mortician. So I never, or a surgeon, I didn't have to do that again. And I think in this day and age where you can do just about everything virtually, it is time to start really examining moving away from this. Because for every student who really enjoys the hands-on aspect of dissecting a frog, you've got a handful of students who either get queasy or they can opt out, as they can do in Illinois and a number of other states. 18 states, in fact, have an opt-out deal. You can choose alternatives to dissection and not be penalized. Illinois' Dissection Alternative Act has been in place since 2000, so it's been quite a while. There's ways to do this without actually, you know, smelling the formaldehyde and dumping the fetal pig on a little cafeteria tray and putting it in front of, you know, you and your lab partner, and your lab partner has to run to the bathroom because they're getting sick, and you're like, and you're all of a sudden you've
got... And you're complaining, I got to do all the work.
Right, and you've got kids who you wouldn't want, you know, using a spork in the cafeteria. Now they have a scalpel in class. I don't need that kind of activity either. So nationally, they're trying to figure this out. It's unclear if fewer schools are using dissection as computer simulations of the procedure have improved, according to the director of the National Association of Biology Teachers. The American Anti-Vivisection Society, which I didn't even know, they're the ones who gave the report that 18 states have this opt-out. Teachers are pointing out the simulations are less expensive than the use of real animals, and in recent years, biology has shifted instruction toward the study of cells, molecules, and genetics, and away from what you would need to study when you were doing dissections. Were you I know you didn't teach science, but were they still doing dissections in school?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it a big... Because I remember that was like... That was a springtime thing, and it was a big deal as we got closer. Oh,
right.
Where you're almost getting up to the unit where you're going to get the fetal pig.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I don't want a fetal pig.
Yeah.
And it really it was grown. They did just slap it on a tray like you were going through the cafeteria. You want type A lunch, type B lunch, or the fetal pig from science?
Well, right.
I guess I'll go with the fetal pig from science.
I'll just throw in. For
please.
And you know, because you've been teaching.
Yes.
Even though you've got the younger kids.
Yes, they only dissect our personality and our fears. They don't actually dissect animals.
But in the high school level, which is where I taught, what they're trying to do is get you to be open to all possibilities for your future. Mm-hmm. So you may not know in high school that you might want to do this for a living. But that's why you're exposed to that
right.
Within the curriculum. Some people may like a certain form of math and find they want to go on to be whatever.
I agree with that. I think though, as we get to a point where you could digitally do the dissection, I think you can still learn the same amount from that without having to have the actual animal in there. And this is not a PETA thing. Listen, if it... I think if you're in med school or, you know, as you get older and that's part of it, that's fine. It's not, for me, it's not that. It's just, okay, at that age, maybe there's an alternative because you have, the majority of kids aren't going to go on to that, as I said before.
Right.
When you're in med school, you have to do that because this is what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. If you're in a biology major in college, you've made a career path decision. So using animals or a cadaver or whatever is fine. I think in high school we can look at options where you're still giving the kids enough information about this. You're still teaching a curriculum based on what you and your district believes they need to learn. But for the kids who would be negatively impacted by having, you know, a dead animal sitting on a table in front mm-hmm. of them, you pass that up.
And here's another reason why I think this may become a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
As schools, high schools, continue to whittle down their budgets, they may cut out the funds for these items.
It's very expensive.
It's extremely expensive, and I've known science teachers who have taught this, biology teachers in high school, who have not had the funds to buy those, and this was 20 years ago, mm-hmm. where they didn't have the funds in the school budget.
Well, the Highland Park District spent about $3,500 last year on that.
And when you're whittling the school budget, mm-hmm. and you can buy a computer program for $500 forever,
for everybody, yeah.
right, and you've got, what you said, $3,500 mm-hmm. for the animals, it's a deal breaker there. You got to look at the money.
And they're talking, they said they would consider a computer generated system yeah. to do that, which makes sense.
And computer graphics now and programs are so advanced now, you could do the 3D.
Right.
You could get that experience.
And kids, you know, most kids are used to doing things virtual right. reality. They're on, listen, they're killing zombies and other people all mm-hmm. the time. Why not dissect a frog in a computer simulation yeah. too? From the 630, when I was in school, I loved all cats. Dissecting frogs and fetal pigs. I draw the line at cats and dogs, but pithed frogs were unsettling. They were brain dead but alive, and it was the teacher who did the pithing. Oh, no. What about from the 224? What about dissecting raw meat or frog legs? Just go down to the fresh market and buy the pig's head. Yeah. Or have my dad's aunt smuggle one back from Ireland like she used to do. I know I've told that story. Back in the day, my dad's Aunt Mary, she would go to Ireland all the time. That's where she was from. And she loved making pig's head. I don't know, some weird Irish delicacy.
Acquired taste?
To my knowledge, I never had it.
Oh, okay.
But I did see it. Because one day we went and she had come home from Ireland, so we picked her up at the airport. We took her back. She lived at my grandpa's house. And my dad carried, they lived in a bungalow. So my dad carried her suitcase upstairs to her bedroom and started unpacking. And I heard this blood-curdling scream followed by a litany of profanities from my dad, which the litany of profanities I was kind of used to. The blood-curdling scream was unsettling. And he ran downstairs. He's like, Mary, what the H do you have in your suitcase? And she's like, oh, yeah, I brought something back. I smuggled it in. It was a pig's head.
Yeah.
So she goes upstairs. And she brings down this thing with this brown, it was brown paper, bush paper,
yeah.
brown paper from her thing, and she unwrapped it, and there, in its white glistening glory, on the kitchen table, at 68th and Damon, was a pig's head. Now, it had not been refrigerated. It had been in her suitcase.
Oh, no.
It had been in her suitcase since she left Dublin.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know then how you prepare a pig's head that has been, you know, festering in your suitcase for a day, but that was not my concern as a child. My concern was, oh my God, she's got a pig head wrapped in paper in her suitcase. It was gross. And it's one of those that now we would tell that story for years. Nobody ever followed up on what she did. We all assumed that she cooked it and my grandpa and she yeah. and whoever else was around ate it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you do with a pig's head.
Well,
I know people eat them. I know, yeah. you know, you can eat from the tip of the snout to the tip of the tail. You can eat everything on the pig.
Mm-hmm.
But I leave that to trained butchers and things and barbecue pit masters.
Well, there you go.
I don't want my aunt pulling out of her carry-on. Hey, look what I got. And it wasn't in the carry-on because she would have got stopped at customs. But imagine getting stopped. Imagine that. What are you trying to smuggle in? You got cocaine up there? What do you got some heroin?
Wouldn't someone have smelled it, like the baggage handlers or somebody?
She must have had it wrapped, you know. She must have had it
in a huge baggie.
Well, if it's cold in the baggage hold.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's really yeah. cold there. So that, okay, that'll be yeah. fine. And you keep it refrigerated, I guess. Till you put it in your suitcase. But if you're willing to smuggle home a pig's head, can your modern-day refrigeration be top of the line either back in the old country?
Yeah, I don't know. So.
Just sitting on a block of ice out on the stoop. And then, then she carried it home. It was very, very strange. Very strange. But it was, as I said, they ate it.
Wow.
But I don't know if you scrape the, I don't know. If you, listen. Max Arorian, if you're listening, I know they would know how to prepare a pig's head. Or any, you know, hog farmers, anybody wants to give us some insight.
Jared Leonard, who runs Pit Barbecue.
Yeah.
And actually barbecue spots all over the U.S. now. He's in Denver opening up a bunch of outlets.
Yeah.
I've noticed on his Facebook page, he's roasted a whole pig, head and all.
Well, the whole pig, the whole hog, when you smoke a whole hog, you mm-hmm. do, you'd leave the head on. You do the whole thing. And but I don't know. I mean, I know then they take the ears and they fry them up for dogs. Because dogs have pig ear treats, and some people eat pig ears. But I don't know what you do. Brian from the 219, couldn't you have gone to the local butcher and ordered a pig's head? I don't know. I would assume yes. But maybe there's something about Irish hogs that have a different taste.
Exactly.
Or maybe it was her childhood pet and they had to butcher.
I don't know.
I don't know why there was the attachment, why they need to smuggle home a pig's head. But I wish I were lying. But who could make up this story?
Yeah.
This is a story that, you know, it rings true because it is horrifically, horrifically true. So now this is the debate that is going on and on whether we should still be doing dissections in high school. And I think if we have the computer programs to do it at a high school level, then do it virtually or digitally. But when you get older, then I have no problem with
it. You know what?
Mm.
Just let them all work with the operation game.
Yeah.
Oh, if you buzz, you get an F.
No. You got to see the insides, but can see the insides on a computer program.
Yeah.
Because I can vividly remember the earthworm having to make the slice and then peel it back,
mm-hmm.
and then you pinned it down so that you were exposing the tract, the digestive tract, and everything. Because an earthworm, it's very simple.
The thing, remember I said, we didn't do the pig,
right?
But now I just remembered we had cow's eyes.
Oh,
yeah.
What are you doing with cow's eyes?
I don't know, but there was the little.
And how are you not flicking those at somebody?
There might have been some.
Of course, somebody is going to put that on the end of a scalpel and then flick it at somebody.
Yep.
And the teacher's going, if I have to tell you kids to leave those cow's eyes alone one more time, everybody in here is getting an F. Yeah, flap, and then it sticks on the board like one of those gummy hands
in
a creepy crawler. And bloop, bloop, bloop. Oh, and I couldn't. Oh, cow eyes are so beautiful when they're attached to a cow.
Right.
And when they're looking at you. To have them all of a sudden just, ugh.
Well, trust me.
No.
When they were ready to take the scalpel to them, they were still looking at you.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's gross. But, and again, if you're not going to become an ocular surgeon, do you need a 15-year-old with a scalpel taking apart a cow's eye? Or can he just go on a program and do it that way?
Yeah.
I think that way would be fine.
Program.
All right, we all know that the Internet is a horrible place, filled with people who have advice that really should never be listened to, and we all critique everything on the Internet. Well, what if the critique came down to how you ate a candy bar and the future of your relationship? We will discuss after this, 720 WGN. The news desk, which is in here now because the newsroom is moving tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 2, the new newsroom opens. Looks mm-hmm. It's state-of-the-art, beautiful. You look out over everything. And the newsroom
is on the 17th or 18th?
18th floor.
18th floor.
Yeah. That's what I've been told. We will see how that works out. All right. Let me ask you this. When you eat a Kit Kat, do you break it into the little pieces? Do you just chomp away on the whole thing? How do you eat a Kit Kat?
I do break them apart. That's the fun of it.
Most people do. I think most people break it into fourths. Well, holy Moses.
Have we been wrong all these years?
No, but imagine you do it quote-unquote wrong, and in this day and age of social media,
mm-hmm.
your significant other takes to social media, and suddenly it's a huge uproar. There's a Twitter user, a Burdenator, her boyfriend ate a Kit Kat the quote-unquote wrong way. And really, when it comes to candy, is there a wrong way to eat candy? You open your mouth, you jam it in, you chew, you swallow, you enjoy the sweetness of it. That's how you eat candy. Well, this guy, I guess, he claims he had never eaten a Kit Kat before, which I don't believe, but I guess, you've never had a Kit Kat. So he unwraps the Kit Kat and he just took a bite.
Okay.
Just took a bite across all four pieces.
It's not that large of a bar.
It doesn't seem like a big deal, but this Burdenator went crazy.
Uh-oh.
She posts a picture of the Twitter. This is right up your alley, Cody. This social media nightmare. She posts a picture of this Kit Kat, which I guess is now akin to, you know, eating a Kit Kat wrong is akin to any sort of social movement that has real importance. Now we have to worry about how we eat a Kit Kat. She shared the photo, but instead of breaking off, as I said, one piece of a time, her boyfriend, who claimed to have never took a bite across all four rows, and that threw Twitter into a tirade. People told her she should break up with him, that he was a no-good lout, that everything was wrong with this man because he dared to eat a Kit Kat the quote-unquote wrong way. So Jake Tapper from CNN even weighed in on this.
Wow.
But see, that I can see, because Jake is so tired of having to deal with everything else he's dealing with on a day-to-day basis, that when he went, oh, good, I can focus on something else. I can focus on something that really is not going to possibly affect the entire planet. So Jake chimed in, and he gave advice that she should how to proceed. The unidentified boyfriend, when others were asking how he eats other foods, some shared similar tales of people who commit similarly dastardly deeds. Still others wanted to know how the Kit Kat man dealt with being dumped and shared condolences for the completely hypothetical breakup. Just when you thought I couldn't get any worse, Haiku Jonah. You follow Haiku Jonah, don't you, Cody?
Everyone follows Haiku Jonah.
He trends on me. I can't believe it. I'm all about Haiku Jonah. I retweet him. I comment on him. I like him. He came along and put the final nail in the coffin by dropping in his words. No word at press time whether a Birdinator did indeed dump her Kit Kat boyfriend, but they tried to reach out for comment, and she, of course, did not comment. Would you dump Dr. Mrs. Casey's Cody's wife if she ate a Kit Kat wrong or ate something wrong, like ate pizza crust first?
No, there's not really a wrong way to eat most foods.
I'll agree with that, but as I just came up with that example, eating pizza crust first.
Yeah, but if it's stuffed crust, that's the whole point. Yeah. Dude, Pizza Hut, they're all over it.
Eat the pizza crust first. Yeah. The whole new $4 blah, blah.
They're wrong.
Well, because it's
make a better
with
pizza.
Cheese and,
right, just make a better pizza.
Tell that to the marketing department. Hello, Pizza Hut, by the way.
I have nothing against Pizza Hut. I actually, at one time at Pizza Hut, I uttered these words. This is the best pizza I've ever eaten.
Whoa.
Honest to God. Now, I was in Michigan, and I was drunk because I'd been at a vineyard all day, but still, I did say those words. This is the best pizza I've ever eaten. And I'll stand behind that for that.
We're not taking calls on this.
On
so don't call. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear angry listeners.
The wrong way to
Pizza Hut in Chicago. Let's start even.
That's not us, because we have to do the news and then we have to talk to Carly and Martinez. So we got to do this, then we got to do that, then we got to do the other thing.
Thanks, Roger. You sure you're done? You want to just run out again?
We got to put a stop to this craziness, Cody. I forget how much regular teens are addicted to social media, let alone teens who are big recording artists. And we welcome back to the show Carly and Martina, who have... this is what you're here for, ladies. You're here for this part. You're not here for the Facebook Live part. They're like, wait, he's going to talk to us? Yes, that's why you're here. Welcome back. This is very exciting. How long have you guys been coming here? We were trying to figure out how old you were when you first came in.
We were 13. Our first broadcast with you guys was 2014.
It was in December of 2014.
All right, so now you are the ripe old age of 17, 18?
16.
16? Wait a minute. If 18...
We were 13.
13?
And we had just turned 13 in December of 2014.
And now, all right.
So.
And now you're 16.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to drive yourselves down here?
We have our licenses, but my dad drove.
But dad sure did. Dad's running the show. That's good. Mm-hmm. But this, first of all, congratulations on all your success over
Thank
the years.
You.
This is very exciting.
Thank you.
To see you again. For those people who have not heard you with us before and are not familiar with you, which it seems hard to do because you have about 1.5 billion social media followers. You are this close to Kardashian level social media. Would that be accurate?
I wish.
Yeah. So who doesn't?
We're gonna get there soon.
One day.
So for the people who aren't familiar with your story, how did this all start out? How did two sisters from the Chicago suburbs all of a sudden become women who are playing at the House Blues and you're going to be playing at Summerfest, and you have a new single that came out on Friday, Block His Number, which I'm guessing is some sort of unrequited love song. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So give us your background. How did you come to this point?
Well, Carly and I have been playing piano since we were 4 years old, and we were both classically and jazz trained and picked up other instruments along the way. And we actually gave a TEDx talk about this in April of last April. So
yeah, I think that was the last time we talked to you.
Yeah, it was. So basically, when I was in sixth grade, I fractured my spine and I gained a lot of weight because I had missed 3 months of school and I couldn't walk. And I was on a bunch of different pain meds and I gained a lot of weight. And when I came back, I was bullied for that. At the same time, I had a speech impediment. So we were both bullied at school for different reasons. And, you know, it really bothered us. But one day after being bullied, we kind of went home from school and we were like, okay, are we going to like stay sad about this or are we going to do something to make ourselves feel better? So we wrote this song called Make Me Happy, and it's kind of all about being the gatekeeper of all the positive and negative things that come your way and kind of saying, like, you don't get to make me happy, I get to make myself happy. We went to a little summer week-long camp thing where you basically bring in your original song and the kids who are there play it, and at the end of the week you go to a recording studio and you're like, I had my song recorded over the summer. Like, I'm so cool.
Do you have to do the hair flip? Is that part of it?
No, okay. that is standard.
Yeah, it's mandatory.
Okay. I don't know anything about the recording process. The record, I'm not clear.
That's exactly what you do. And
is that right? That's why I've never had a hit. Nothing to flip.
There you go.
Nothing to flip. So you record your song, you flip your hair, they go crazy for it.
Well, yeah, so the producer, we didn't think anything of it, and then the producer, and I think he's now the owner of the studio, called us back 2 weeks later, and he was like, did you guys really write that song? And we were like, yeah. And he said, well, I really like you guys, and I'd like to give you a start in the music industry. So we got a one-song deal. It was a video, a photo shoot, and the song was Make Me Happy. That was our first interview with you.
That was the first time you guys came in.
Yeah,
yep, I remember.
We came in with you, and then from your interview with us, a blind DJ from Waukesha, Wisconsin reached out, and he was like, you know, I'm really inspired by you guys. I'd like to have you guys play for some kids at a school I teach. So we just thought it would be like 10 or 15 kids at like Starbucks or something. Like that was it. But it ended up being the entire middle school, and we led breakout sessions with the sixth graders talking about our story and how they can be creative and use that as an outlet. And in Waukesha, there are a lot of coffee houses, and we would play like 3-hour sets three times a week for a really long time. And that's when we realized that we really wanted to do this. So we basically started co-writing, writing more songs, learning how to produce, and building up social media until now.
And social media is obviously the material, the songs, and that's the core. But social media is a huge part now, because the record business isn't like it was back when your mom and dad and I were listening to records. It's a whole different thing. If you don't have that social media presence, you could be writing the best songs in the world and nobody cares.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, nowadays labels are looking to see if you can make the public care without them investing money and time into you. So you kind of have to develop yourself and run your own career, and then hopefully, if, you know, you get enough attention from fans, you can go to a label or not, and you have yourself kind of run your own career. In my opinion, the internet has really leveled the playing field for a ton of artists, because they can, A, put their stuff on the internet and build a fan base without needing a corporation to sponsor them.
Without needing a lot of money to do it, also. That's really important.
That's also really important. And then, if they want to go to a label, that's great, but if they want to stay independent, they have the choice to. Like, it's really created a great space for artists.
Well, and you're very lucky. Your mom and dad are very involved in helping with your career, but it's a shady business, especially for young women. Have you, in your career to this point, had anybody come and go, hey, ladies, we want to do this and this, and you're like, wow, you are a creep. Get out of here.
Yeah, we've had that a lot, but we're
Well, I thought, well, maybe once or no, we have it every day.
It definitely happened, but you just got to be smart and you got to stick with your family. And
our parents are amazing. They are totally supportive, so they're there to help us out. But we have each other, which is an amazing thing. It's so much easier to, like, stay strong and, you know, notice these things if there's someone who kind of has your back. And also, we're the kind of people who we like. If we don't like something, we let you know.
Very nice. So give me an example. Is it that they're trying to get you to change your sound or try to change your image? Or what are they, and it, you know, if it's too creepy, you don't have to.
Well, it's all of that, actually. Sometimes it's changing your sound. Sometimes it's changing your image, being like every other artist ever. Yeah. I think that right now, if they see something that's different, they get scared of it. They don't know what it is.
Well, they can't make money off it yet.
Or they don't know how, because it doesn't fit the formula.
Right.
And I believe that our sound is different because we just stay true to who we are. We write songs that we're feeling and hope, and we believe that other people relate to. And our image on social media is literally who we are as people. Like, yeah. there is no the brand and then Carly and Martina. Like,
no.
We are Carly and Martina. There's no need to change because we're just people. And
you don't use it. You don't go around worrying about what's good for our brand.
No, because our brand is us.
Yeah. We're smart about it, you know. We stay out of situations that could potentially show us in, like, a bad light. But, you know, we're not the kind of people to do crazy things anyways, mm-hmm. So we don't really have trouble with that.
So you're still in school, right? You guys still go to regular school?
No. We're in online schooling.
Online school?
Yes. Online private high school. We're sophomores. We're finishing up our sophomore year.
Wow. So when did you leave the more traditional school?
One semester into high school, our freshman year. So about a year and a half ago.
And that's when things started picking up musically and your career started taking off, or you just got tired of going to school?
No. Here, when we left, we knew we needed to leave so that we would have the time and we could have the focus to build. But for the first couple of months, it was a lot of work and not a lot of return.
And it was scary. We were like, oh my gosh,
what did we just do? And then in about June or July last year, things started to pick up. And we realized that because when we left public school, people thought that we were insane. I mean,
listen, I think going to public school is half the time. Going to any school half the time is insane. But then leaving school at your age, you know, people go, well, I didn't go to college because I wanted to pursue my musical career. You go, okay, well, good luck. It's a gamble. But leaving after your freshman year, you go, I'm out.
We're still in school and stuff. We're still getting an education. But,
a great education.
People didn't know that part. They didn't think to ask that question.
They just thought you left.
I thought we dropped out of school.
I'm like, no, guys, that's illegal. You can't do that yet.
That's true.
But what we realized is we needed those 3 months of really, really, like, hard working months to realize. We realized that we needed that in order to have the time to build.
Yeah. Right. You have a new single out. Block is number. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear the single. And then I'm always interested in the process. And normally when I have musicians in there, and I've said this to you guys every time, they're older. You know, I got grizzled old people coming in here talking to me about their music. So I want to talk to you about how this all comes to be. What does it take to go to school and still, you know, create music and put it out there and keep all your followers happy. So Carly and Martina are here. If you have any questions, 312-981-7200. You can always go to carlyandmartina.com to get all the information. We'll hear the new single when we come back. It's WGN. Learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays, 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Carly and Martina are in the studio. They have a brand new single out. It's called Block His Number. I can only guess what it is about, but I'm sure that the ladies will tell us. CarlyandMartina.com is, of course, the website. The ladies will be playing at the House of Blues on June 21st. They have a Sounds of Summer show, which starts at 5:45. It's family-friendly, so go see that. You can also see them at Summerfest in Milwaukee. They'll be there on July 3rd on the Johnson Control stage. That's a big gig. Have you played Summerfest before?
No, and we've never played the House of Blues either.
Two big gigs. Summerfest is huge.
I'm so
huge.
Excited.
Oh, you guys are going to have a ball up there. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right, so Block His Number. Let me throw out what I think it's about, and then you can set me straight. You've got some guy who done you wrong, and either he's stalking you and he won't leave you alone, or you're done with him. He did something horrible. Maybe he talked to he Snapchatted some other girl, and that was it. And so you're gonna block his number. Am I close or am I way off?
You're close. It's about it's about when people don't treat you right. Don't give them any more of your time. Just enjoy drama. Free life, block their number, go enjoy your summer.
I like that. All right, well, let's hear it. This is Carly and Martina on WGN.
Maybe going.
Block His Number, that's the new single from Carly Martina. It is available everywhere singles are available. If you go to carlymartina.com, you can get it there. There's a lot going on. Very nice job, ladies. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's terrific.
Thank you.
Very catchy. So let's talk, because we've got the single, then of course we have the music video. But let's talk about the single first. How does this song come about, or how do any of your songs come about? Do one of you usually have an idea, or do you both have ideas, and then what's the process?
Well, every time it's different, but a lot of times we'll get to the room and she'll start with like a bass line. Well, for this song it was the bass line, bum 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 ba-da-da-da, and she'll go with that, and then I'll be thinking of ideas. And if it's a co-write, this was a co-write with an amazing writer, Victoria Shaw, and she had this idea to like Block His Number, Enjoy the Summer. So then she was playing that bass line, and I just kind of started like coming up with the melody and words at the same time.
Okay.
Just kind of in my head, that's just what I was hearing, and I just started kind of going with it, and that's what you heard. In the middle of the night, he calls you up. Just like setting the scene.
Oh,
it was super collaborative. It was really, really fun.
So did this one come pretty easy, pretty quick? It sounds like it was an easy one to write.
I mean, I think all of our songs take between 45 minutes to an hour and a half normally to write. Sometimes
it'll
take a little bit longer.
That seems very fast.
When it comes, just comes.
This one was one of those where like it was just working in the room.
It was
Victoria was on fire. Carly was on fire.
She was on fire.
So let's talk about these co-writers. How do you get partnered up with these co-writers?
We network.
Well, sure, you're on social media nonstop. Do you ever sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because I've seen some of your posts where you say goodnight, we're going to bed, and I'm like, oh, okay, they are going to
finally
sleep. But how does this happen? You're networking, but who are you networking with? Are you sending out your stuff? The word, I mean, you've been doing this long enough where people know who you are, so that must make it easier to get good co-writers rather than, hey, my name's Bob, I got a song, you want to work with me?
Well, at first, it was really hard when we started co-writing because nobody would want to write with us. We were 14 years old.
Yeah.
It was really, really hard.
Well, they have to be thinking, and this is no offense, you're 14.
Of course.
How much life experience can two 14-year-old girls have to tell us about?
Well, Marty Dodson, he's an amazing writer. He's had over 9 number ones. He's crazy. He saw us. He heard our music, and he wanted to write with us. So we started writing with him, and he started introducing us to some of his friends, and we started writing with them,
and then we basically networked our way up. Victoria Shaw actually wrote The River by Garth Brooks.
Nice.
And she's written for Ricky Martin and Christina Aguilera, and she's like the nicest person ever.
We found her in New York. We were performing at Jim Caruso's cast party. It's this really cool open mic in New York.
I love that you guys are able to drop names at 17. That is
No, it's a good thing. I love all of these people.
It's a good thing. You've had these experiences. I think it's great.
Thank you.
So you're performing at this party.
And so was she. And
this was like 2 years ago, by the way.
This was 2 years ago, and she came up to us, and she's like, hey, I like your song. And I'm freaking out. We were both freaking out. We were like, can we write with you? And she was like,
email me.
Email. So we emailed her, and we kept emailing her for like a year and a half, just keeping her updated, new songs, new co-writes. You know, when we thought she'd know someone, we'd be like, hey, we just wrote with this person.
We just hit 100K on Instagram. When, like, stuff happened, we updated her.
And then finally she was like, yeah, let's write next time you're in Nashville. So it took us a year.
Wrote Laka's Number. But what's cool is it started, we've seen, it was actually over the summer, like, kind of a turn where signed writers or really great writers have been asking us to write, and we don't always have to pursue them. Like, I mean, with every situation, it's different.
Sure.
But it's been really great because we have a great set of writers in Nashville and a great set of writers in LA, and they write completely differently, but the music is good.
And how hard is it to find, you know, to have them listen to your voice? Because while you've been doing this for a few years, you're still young. And they, you know, these people have been writing for a long time, so they're like, listen, we know what we're doing. Well, so just sing this.
So since we're the artists, but we're also the writers, it's more, I don't know how to say this, we kind of run our own show in that we write for us, we write our music, and if they'd like to, you know, work with us and contribute to our process, that's really great, but if not, it's probably not going to work out. And that's great because they're so talented and so kind that it ends up working perfectly.
We've had so many good experiences with writers that we've really never even thought about that. Like, when you think about it, there are two sides to this table. These are hit songwriters. They have number ones and cuts with some of our favorite artists. But we're also 16 and we're young and we have a fresh take on the world
and a voice and stuff.
So there's really a give and take there. But it's so fun. It's so fun. We love writing.
I got to be honest. You are making this seem like such an easy, fun process. And I know there has to be a dark side, but we won't find out. What we will talk about after the news is the video. And we'll talk a little bit more about all the other things you're doing. You've got a great partnership with United Way, so we want to get into that. And we'll talk about the shows and all of that. And I'm sure during the news, while Roger's doing the news, you'll be making some sort of social media post. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just make sure to tag us. Cody, we need to pick up some Carly Martino numbers. We gotta up. Maybe the girls will help us. You know,
we'll tag you. We'll tag you guys.
You have to. You gotta tag us. All right, let's do this. Then it's news time. WGN. Carly Martino in the studio with me. This is music from way before you were born. This is the funniest stuff. You like Van Halen?
I like this song.
This one will work. Carly and Martina have a brand new single, Block His Number. It's you can hear the single. You can see the video if you go to carlyandmartina.com. I got to ask you about the video. Had you ever seen phones like that before you made the video? These are actually rotary. You have some rotary phones in this video, which is freaking me out.
On TV. We saw it on TV.
We heard tales of them from the olden days. A lot of people texting in. People are very happy that you're here. Perry, and I think you kind of answered this question. Do you write the chords and the melodies as well as the words for the songs?
Yes,
all of it.
All of it.
Because you guys have been, like you said, playing piano since 3 and then other instruments all along. You pick these up as well. Are you like savants when it comes to music? Do they come easy when you pick up a new instrument? Because I've tried to play different things and it's rough.
I definitely think that learning the piano first really helped me because we did classical and jazz, and learning theory on the piano where you can kind of see it all laid out helped me learn guitar so much faster because you already know what steps are, you already know scales, you already know how music pretty much works, and you just have to flip your thinking in terms of the instrument. But learning piano first helped us so much.
Okay, very nice. Now, I mentioned before that so we talked about how you did the song, and the song came fairly quickly, and some songs come quicker than others. What about the video? Because that's a whole different animal, because now you're not thinking musically, you're thinking visually, and that's a different muscle. So do you have somebody who you wrote the song, and then does somebody come to you and go, here's our idea for the video, or is that you guys too who said, listen, this is what we see for the video, can you make it happen?
So it was all us. We had all the visions for the video. We styled ourselves, our own hair, our own makeup. We even sourced our own props.
So those rotary phones we found.
Where did you find those phones?
We found it at a prop store.
And Amazon.
And Amazon. That was where we went. But basically,
The palm trees were from Amazon,
The palm trees were from Amazon. The disco balls. Oh, my God. It was crazy because in our house, we had, like, these palm trees and these disco balls.
Columns. We had columns. You know, mannequin. But he was in half and in, like, a weird blanket. So that's how you transported him.
Sure,
I felt like I was like murdering someone.
It was so weird. But basically, we had these ideas for the video, and we had usually when it comes to music videos, they take months to prepare and shoot.
We've got to storyboard them and cast
completely.
Them. And, get a director.
We had 2 weeks.
All right.
It
seems fast.
It was. Crazy, but it was so much fun. We literally got. My mom is rolling her eyes. She's like, "Yeah, fun for you."
Yeah, I can imagine. That's next time I'm not interviewing you two. I'm interviewing mom and dad because this is, you know, like I said, you guys make it all sound rosy and fun. But there's guys, somebody who's driving you around. And
we were driving ourselves.
Oh no,
there's had our licenses.
There are definitely times where you are like, "Why am I even doing this?" Like we helped edit the video, we helped direct the video, and. Trust me, you get tired looking at the same 4 seconds of footage for an hour trying to figure out
how do you learn? Is this something that you picked up like on your iPads and stuff? How to edit videos and shoot videos? Is this or are they teaching you this at your online high school, which may or may not be legitimate? By the way,
so we picked up Adobe Premiere on our own.
So when we were 13, how we wanted to like have our own career in the music industry, and we started producing our own music, writing. Editing our own videos and creating our own content. We've had practice for a few years now in editing.
Well, that's very exciting. Now, I have to ask, because we're going to talk about the United Way and all this other stuff. We've talked about, everything seems like it goes really easy. But we all know that showbiz is full of rejections.
Yes.
How do you guys deal with rejection? Because it's good to have confidence and believe in yourself, and you have to. And you have to believe that you've got the goods, and obviously you do. You've been delivering them for years, and people are writing with you. Big time people want to hang out with you. That's a good sign. But I'm sure there have been times along the way where you get the no, or you get somebody telling you, listen, we don't think you're whatever they say. So you have each other to help you out, but how do you deal with that kind of rejection? Because it comes all the time throughout people's careers.
Yeah, we get the word no more often than we get the word yes, and that's just the reality of the business. I think the way we get through it is we so believe in the music we make, and we have fans who believe in it so much. We will get DMs on direct messages on Instagram.
I know what that
I
means.
Roger
didn't. He's old.
Okay.
I know what a DM is.
Direct messages being like, hey, like, I'm playing the piano now because of you guys. I started writing songs. I left my boyfriend who was being mean to me because of your songs. We see how much our music and what we do affects people, and our fans love our music. So I know, like, you know what? We're making it for people who really care.
There you go.
I think that our terminology, our mantra is, it's not yet, instead of no.
Yes.
Okay.
So if somebody says this isn't right for you, or this isn't going to work out, I'm like, cool, but something else will, or this will work out in 6 months or a year. I mean, with Victoria Shaw, we were in different places and it never worked out, but we kept at it. We're very, throughout this time, with some of the help of our parents, we have learned to be persistent without being obnoxious.
Yes.
And that is a skill that has helped us so much because
even on social media, we're persistent without being obnoxious. I mean, we're active and we reply to every single comment and every single DM.
Every single.
But we're not annoying. Like, we're not spamming people's feed like 5 times a day with Instagram right. posts. But, oh my God, there's so many people up. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I know. You wish you could get some of this on some sort of feed. Don't worry. Your dad's doing some.
They're
you
know, filming.
They're filming. They know.
Everybody. Well, you have to. So, speaking of, we. You get the noise, you get the negativity from the industry. That's one thing. You expect that. Sometimes things are going to be rough. How hard is it then in the social media space? Because we all know social media and the internet, I get it all the time. It happens. Is it hard to ignore some of the haters, for lack of a better term? Because everybody has them. Doesn't matter how great you are. You get somebody. Do you just block them and move and never deal with them again? Is that the best way to handle it?
I think we've been really, really lucky that we've had such a positive reaction, and the people who really like our music really like our music.
They stand up for us when people
there you go.
Are,
it's
so
it's,
nice.
It's really great, and we've learned how to deal with hate comments.
Kill them with kindness,
yeah,
you
graciously.
Know?
Like, there's no need to be like rude and say, oh, like you jerk, like, and start going on.
Oh, wait, I shouldn't do that?
Well, you can if you want to.
If
you know,
you
it's
want
to each his own. If somebody says something,
I just got schooled, Roger. Did you see that? I just got schooled. Yeah. All right, go ahead, ladies.
If somebody says something like, oh, you sound terrible. Let's just, like, for example, I'm like, oh, sorry you didn't like it. Do you have any suggestions for songs that you think we'd sound better on?
Oh, my God, I would never talk to a troll like that.
Oh, no.
But then they become
people come back and they go, I literally did not expect for you to reply so nicely and so kindly. And, yeah, I would love you to hear you sing the song, but I'm actually a fan now. Like, that's literally happened.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
There you go. No, that's great. And, all right, enough of the negative underbelly of show business, because people don't want to hear about that. They want to hear the meteoric success of a Carly and Martina. And so let's talk about, when we come back, your partnership with the United Way. We want to remind people about the big shows coming up. June 21st at the House of Blues, the Sounds of Summer show. And then Summerfest in Milwaukee at the Johnson Control stage. I've been to that stage. All the stages there are great. That's on July 3rd in the afternoon, 4:15. That's a nice time of day. People have been there for a few hours. It's beautiful. So we'll talk all about that. The new single is Block His Number. CarlyMartina.com is the website. We'll talk more with the ladies after this. WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Carly and Martina are in the studio. Their latest single, Block His Number, dropped on Friday, June 1st. You can hear it at CarlyandMartina.com. You can download it everywhere. Fine music is available. Tell me about this partnership with the United Way.
Well, we're really excited about it. We are leading some songwriting workshops with a lot of the kids United Way works with. And that's really exciting. Those kids are so fun. They're really, really talented. Some of them are, I'm like, oh my gosh, like.
Oh my God, no, there was this one kid. It was the first one that we ever did. And there was this one kid who was a rapper.
He was good.
Oh,
like,
my
really good.
God. It was amazing. He was so good. He did his rap to, like, the instrumental of a Tupac song.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, my God, this kid is so good. Yeah, no,
well, see, and these are the kids who down the road will be asking you to write with them, just like you were looking to people who are more established to write with you. So
definitely.
It's all
going to
come back around.
Yeah, and we're excited about that.
And we want to get, I mean, Chicago has so much to it, and there's such a culture to this city that I feel like not enough, I mean, we all know it, but not enough people know about it. Like, when people think of music towns, they think New York, Nashville, L.A.,
right.
And what they don't know is that Chicago has such a rich history in music.
Oh, sure.
And so many different kinds of music. So it's really cool to be part of helping kids be a part of that.
And you were working with a group of kids at the Crossroads Center in Cicero?
Yeah, that's where we were doing the songwriting workshops.
Yeah. Okay, very nice. And so then on the 21st, this Sounds of Summer show at the House of Blues. What's the deal with that? Are you going to be doing all sorts of summery songs, or do they? What's the? It's just a bunch of young performers, or who's there?
There's going to be 4 performers. We are number 3 in the lineup.
It's going to be different kinds of genres. So there's something for everybody. It's an all ages show because we're 16,
so it has to be for us anyway.
Sure, yeah, you have to be able to get in. Well, it's at 5:45 too. Not a lot of people going out getting weird at 5:45.
Yeah, we're playing at 8, I believe.
Okay.
So
7:38.
Well, that's when people start getting weird.
I feel like that's maybe like 9. Or 10? Like, we have a little
wiggle
room.
It's Thursday,
so we'll find a way out a little later.
So that's cool. That's on June 21st. People can get tickets through the House of Blues.
Yes.
Or they can go to your website and get a link. Everything's there. And I'm sure you'll be on one of your various social media platforms letting people know how they can get tickets, as you should be. Plug away. So have you ever done a big festival before? Like, have you done outdoor festival performances before?
Yeah, so we had one. Our first one ever was at the Big E opening for Nick Fradiani. He was the winner of American Idol two seasons ago, I think.
Yeah. Yes. And then in January, we actually headlined Allstate Arena for the Girl Scout Cookie Rally, which was kind of crazy because we were Girl Scouts, and like, who isn't a fan of Girl Scout cookies? I mean, hello. And it was really great. It was in front of 5,000 people.
Nice. All Girl Scouts all jacked up on sugar.
Oh, exactly.
After down too many Thin Mints.
It was perfect.
That's
honestly
excellent.
They had so many cookies that if it didn't matter what we played, they were just going to be like, yes,
oh yeah, they're
going to
scream. We hear something. So, is it a different mentality when you're playing? You know, you talked about playing all the coffee houses in Waukesha and playing smaller venues and doing this, and then all of a sudden, like this show at Summerfest, it's a big outdoor thing. Well, how do you change your approach to performing, or do you just keep it small in your head and just do what you do?
Well, we have a full band for these performances, which is amazing. It just gives us way more sound behind us, which is great. And honestly, I'm less nervous to do big shows than I am to do small shows.
Oh.
Same with her.
Really?
Well, with big shows, you know, it's almost like there's a blanket there. Like, there's so many people, and you get to shout out vague terms like, hey, guys, it's Carly and Martina, blah, and they're digging it, and it's all about the energy.
And the drums are going, and the synth is going, and it's all about, energy.
When it's a small show, it's just them and you talk to them, and you connect, and that's some of the best performances we've ever had were those, but it's also, they're paying attention to every single word you're saying. You have to be like, it's a lot more connecting to do. So
yeah,
for these
and at
shows,
the festival, people are coming in and out. They may stay for a couple songs.
They're eating a lot. Yeah,
they're drinking. They're talking. So it's now. Do you do a big production? Do you add like, I don't know, dance number? I was seeing all the footage from Taylor Swift's show last night. Are you doing any big Taylor Swift kind of things to fill up the festival?
We never took dance classes, so we're a little behind on that.
I'm behind on the dancing.
I want to start doing that, but right now, you know, we're musicians. We play our instruments, we sing, we walk around on stage. It's really fun.
For us, it's really, at this point right now, it's still about connecting with people.
Yes.
And
I think that's the key. For anything.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be a short. Yes, it's the long term is to stay connecting to people. Because if you connect with them now and then in 4 years, they're like, yeah, who were those girl we used to listen to? Courtney and what? I don't know. No, you got to stay connected all the time.
I mean, what we want to do with even our followers and the people who come out to our shows and everything is we want to grow with them. I mean, we're only 16. We're really young. And our demographic is wide, but we want to grow with our fans. As they grow up, we want to grow up with them.
Who do you look at as an artist that has done that, that started out young and then has aged and is able to be? Because you guys, when you get to be a certain age, you're going to have to reinvent yourself, or you'll evolve, your perspective will evolve, your songwriting will evolve. Who do you look at now and go, that's kind of, not that we want to imitate them, but that's a career path that we kind of would like to emulate?
Well, Taylor Swift is such a great example. She started in country music, all about, you know, high school and stuff. And as she's grown into a really self-confident person. She's transferred into pop, and she's amazing. I think her career path was amazing.
I agree with that. I also think that the Beatles' career path was really great.
Yeah.
They started out young. They started doing pop music. They simple lyrics, but great melodies, and they just went with it. And as they grew up and evolved their sound into, like, the concept albums and the later Beatles sound, their fans grew with them. But what was so cool about the Beatles is that the decade grew with them. Like, as they evolved, so did history, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, but then they went with the Maharishi, they got into drugs, and they broke up. So have your mom and dad give you the full Beatles story.
Well, I don't think we're going to be doing that.
I don't know, the year 20 years, you two are, like,
related.
Meditating somewhere, and, you know.
We're related, so it'd be hard for us to break up.
What are we going to do, like, on Thanksgiving?
I'm
not talking to you, Martina. Pass the mashed potato.
Then you pit your parents one against the other. One has to go with Carly, one has to go with Martina.
You guys are going to have to pick sides.
I'm going to have to go with Mom. She's
the demise of Carly and Martina.
This is suddenly it's behind the music and things have taken a dark turn. I was waiting for something dark to come out. This has been such a bubbly, fun interview, which it kind of rankles me a little bit. I'm not used to so much enthusiasm and good nature. I am very happy for you guys. This is very exciting. The new single, Block His Number, is out now. It came out on Friday. Go to CarlyMartina.com. Get all the information. Don't forget to go see the ladies at the House of Blues on June 21st, the Sounds of Summer show. And if you are in Milwaukee at Summerfest on July 3rd, make sure you are at the Johnson Control Stage at 4:15 to watch Carly and Martina bring the heat in Milwaukee. Congratulations again, ladies. We will talk to you again from the new digs, and it's always fun to keep following your career and see where you're going.
Thank you so much. I just want to say something really, really quickly.
Yes.
Your show was a pivotal moment in our career. It was the first interview. No, I'm serious. It was the first interview we ever did. And
that started us
started everything. I just want to say thank you so much for having us on and continuing to do this. Because without your show, like, I don't know what would have happened.
Just tag me in your social media
posts. We got you.
Thank me when you win an Emmy or a Grammy. Okay. That's it.
Oh, my God, there's more people. Hi. How are you guys?
CarlyandMartina.com is the website. Block His Number is the single. We'll find out what Karen Conti's got on her show after this. It's WGN. All right. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of the program. We will be back for our final show from the Allstate Showcase Studio next Sunday. You can ask me what time we'll start, and I'll say the same thing I say every week. I have no idea, but I think it's 3 o'clock. We'll see. But right now, Karen Conti has entered the building, and she has a show coming up. Hi. Good
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
Good. Good, good, good.
Could you believe all the fans outside?
So much energy in here. There's so much great energy.
I know. It makes me uncomfortable.
And you know,
I'm used to so much positivity.
What's really strange is I have an entertainment lawyer who's going to come on and talk about morality clauses, and he actually is one of the lawyers for your group.
Is that right?
Yes. What a strange coincidence.
So you're going to talk about morality clauses,
Roseanne Barr, you know, what it's like to represent a Chance the Rapper and people like that. Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
Shot at the other night, which is very frightening.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts about leaving the building? We'll talk about it more next week.
It's sad. I love old buildings. I love antique everything. This is such an iconic building. All the phrases and the quotes in the lobby, I read them all the time. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the Showcase Studio.
That's it. You're not going to, you know, unless we have weird levitating wizards, we're not going to see people outside our windows.
No, and I feel the ghosts here. Don't you feel all the Wally Phillips and all the people who spent time here? Yes.
And absolutely. Every time I walk in here, I feel beholden to them.
Yes.
So it's
we're going to create our own ghosts over there. You and I.
Yeah, they're just going to leave us in a pile somewhere. Have a great show.
Okay, thanks,
Brian. Good to see you. Hey, you can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Lindemann Chimney and Fireplace. It is a little bit after 7, but pretty close for government work. It's Roger Badish.